from pre-trial detention. Thousands of English football fans have descended on Moscow for the European Champions League final, which will be played in the Russian capital tonight. For the first time, the final is between two English clubs, Manchester United and Chelsea. And that's the latest BBC News.
Hello, this is World Update from the BBC World Service in London. I'm Dan Damon. Earlier this month, Hezbollah fighters took over West Beirut and there were fears of a return to civil war. But now delegates from the Lebanese government and Hezbollah have reached a deal in Qatar that's meant to end 18 months of political deadlock. There should be a possibility for Parliament to elect the army chief, General Michel Suleiman, as president. The head of the Arab League, Amr Moussa, said it's an important breakthrough.
There can be no doubt that this is a historic day. It is the day of the Doha reconciliation, the day when everyone accepted and signed a document which releases Lebanon from its shackles. It's a day when the Arabs celebrate Lebanon, and I must stress that we have reached a formula of no winners, no losers. This is very important. We've proved that the historical Lebanese formula of no winners, no losers is the only one that works.
And the senior advisor to Lebanese Prime Minister Seniora Mohamed Chatta told the BBC political institutions would now be put in place.
We are satisfied. I believe the Lebanese people are also satisfied that now we have a chance to restore the political institutions in the country, beginning with the election of a president, formation of a cabinet, and the reopening of the Lebanese parliament. This agreement will open the door to serious discussions to begin addressing the underlying problem of the relationship between the state and Hezbollah, something that has been lurking underneath many of the political problems that we have seen over the past two and a half years.
Mohamed Chatta, BBC's Jim Muir, is in Beirut. Jim, what's the basis of the deal? What's in it for Hezbollah?
Hezbollah, on the face of it, has got two things that it wanted. One is a package deal, because part of the deadlock was caused by the fact that the government team, which of course is Western-backed, were saying, let's elect a president first, which we've all agreed on, and then get on with tackling the other issues one by one. Hezbollah and its allies in the opposition always said, we want a package deal before we elect a president. So they've got that, with agreement on the exact balance of power within a national unity government, and changes to the election law. So, as I say, Hezbollah comes out of that with that, and with a number of its other desiderata addressed. But the government side also comes out with it with something in its hand, and that is the fact that Hezbollah's presence, its armed strength, is to be the focus of what will obviously be an intensive and probably a very difficult dialogue in the weeks and months to come. In other words, Hezbollah has succeeded in putting its own existence, as it were, right center stage as an item of public debate.
Well, stay with us, Jim, but I think with you there is Elia El-Haj, a 25-year-old researcher who's also part of the Maronite Christian community. Thanks for being with us on World Update. How optimistic are you that this deal will work?
First of all, I'm really happy that they compromised both factions to come up with a conclusive end to this tragedy that we're living with. But if we go back in history, we see that the Taif Accord in 1989 was set to end the Lebanese civil war. And now, after maybe 15 years, we're having another accord and agreement. But the question I'm posing to myself, and I shout out loud, will this accord be stiff? Will it be very cemented? Will we be able to live in a stable country? Will we have to have another accord in the future?
And what would be, Elia, what would be the sign for you that it was going to work? What would you expect to see on the streets?
I mean, if we go to the core of the problem, if we have two factions, one which is pro-Western and one is anti-Western factions, I scream out loud. I say, why don't we have a real resolution to this problem, to this crisis in Lebanon and in particular in the Middle East? Why doesn't it a simple equation? We could end this crisis very easily. If we have Hezbollah asking for Shab'a farms to be back and then they could give in their weapons, why doesn't the pro-Western government ask the U.S. George Bush administration to put pressure on Israel to give the Shalah funds.
Right. Thanks very much indeed, Elia Al-Hajj from the Maronite Christian Community. Let me go back to Jameer on that point. What Elia is talking about is the Sheba Farms, this disputed area which the Israelis don't want to hand over to Lebanon. I think there's some dispute about whether it's Lebanese or Syrian territory. But is that really, that kind of detail, is that where this deal might fail, or is it on the basis that there are still two armies in Lebanon, Hezbollah and the Lebanese army?
Well, I think Elia was right to focus on the Sheba Farms because it is the only reason why Hezbollah has been allowed to keep its weapons, which of course have now become more powerful even than the Lebanese army. If the Sheba Farms issue is resolved, Hezbollah's some would say pretext for continuing to hold arms as a resistance movement against Israeli occupation would be removed, and Hezbollah would have to, or at least